ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All that good stuff. Happy holidays. Welcome to 2021. It's been a very horrible ride, if I could say so myself, but everybody's here. They made it from 2020, and, you know, that's something to be thankful for. Mike, DJ, and Shane are on the podcast today. We're one man down. Prentice, I think he was eating pig's feet and something happened, or, you know, we'll let him tell the story when he comes back to the podcast. But how was you guys' holidays?
It was good, man. Solid.
It's good. Low key, just chilled. Couple family members, that's it.
Yeah, it's been cool. I came back down to Dallas to get out of that weather. So I did get a white Christmas in Chicago, but came on back down, hit the 60 degrees. So y'all.
That's what's up. I had a very horrible holiday. I almost fought my uncle at Christmas. Yelled at my mom and grandma the day before. You know, typical family stuff. If you're not trying to swing on Christmas, I wasn't even drunk too. That's the issue. Because if I was drunk, it would have went off the Richter scale. So, you know, my holiday sucked, but I'm grateful that, you know, whatever. The MVP race. Is Aaron Rodgers the MVP? Or do you have Mahomes or Josh Allen?
It's Rodgers. It's really not even close. They're going to get the one seed. Very good chance they beat Chicago, or if San Francisco beats Seattle, one of the two just has to happen. And, you know, he's played at such a high level this year. And I saw a stat today, Green Bay from this year to last year. You know, remember last year, there was a lot of people that said the Packers were, and I was actually one of them. They were very lucky to win a lot of games. They won a lot of close one score games. That's usually the kind of thing that just isn't replicated. This year, their special teams went from, last year they were 18th, this year they're 27th. The run game is
went from
fifth to fourth.
Yeah.
And the defense went from, like, it was actually better last year than it is this year. I forgot what the exact number was. The difference this year is Rodgers is just playing as good as he's played since that insane year of 2011 when they went 15-1, the year after they won the Super Bowl. You know, there were people that were, and I was kind of one of them, that thinking that there's just, this guy's best days of football are completely gone. And not just that, like, he's like, he showed some signs 2 years ago really, really being washed.
I was ready, like, for it. I wanted that to happen so bad.
A lot of people were ready. Like, it was a wrap. And I was like, that's why, like, I kind of warmed up a little bit to the thought of drafting Jordan Love. And Rodgers just went out this year and said, fuck you to everybody. And he's playing the best football he's played in almost 10 years. And he's 100% the MVP.
Hold the phone, because I need to know, at what point were you comfortable with the Jordan Love drafting? Was this?
I didn't say comfortable. I said I was warming up a little bit to the idea over the summer before the season started.
Okay.
Because I'll be the first to admit, evaluating college quarterbacks is something I think is extremely difficult. I've never been able to do it accurately. I think just any regular person being able to know, because I think with a wide receiver, you have a pretty good idea of what they can be. But with quarterbacks, me personally, I've been horrible at it my entire life. And I think a lot of NFL GMs have as well. So I at least warmed up to the idea that if they really like this guy, Jordan Love, who I didn't particularly think highly of in college, and you have a quarterback that you think is probably on the way out, fine. Then reach up and take him. I get it. It just looks like Rodgers now has at least 3-4 more good years left in him. So I don't know when this guy's ever going to see the field.
And you, to your point of evaluating quarterbacks, I've seen a couple of things this year about, you know, ranking every quarterback in the NFL that was drafted in the first round. And it's not really good.
It's hard, man. It's really hard to really accurately predict what these guys are going to be because systems are so different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just look at Josh Allen, for example. I didn't think anything of Josh Allen coming out of college, and especially like his first year in the league. Like, okay, this guy's got bust written all over him. And now he fixed the accuracy problem. And now those other tools about being big, strong, fast. I mean, whoa, look out.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, do you agree with Shane that it's Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers. Mahomes having a hell of a year, but it's also kind of pedestrian. Like, it's not like it was 2 years ago. Like, and, you know, even with last year, it was a Super Bowl run that complemented that, which, like, inflated what we remember about Mahomes. It's not that this year. His two best weapons are playing out of their mind, Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Like, I don't know who is 1A on that team right now, because you can go, like, Kelce's one of the top receiving yards in the league as a tight end. And, like, he putting up historic numbers that you haven't seen unless you talk about the top receivers ever, like an Antonio Gates or a Tony Gonzalez. Like, he's in that ilk right now, and they're champions. And if you look at their division, they're in the AFC West. You had the Raiders. The Raiders beat them. That's it. The Raiders beat them. The Broncos season's been done since before it even started. The Chargers got a lot of potential over there with Justin Herbert, but at the end of the day, that division's not good. So you're running up the score in your own division, kind of like Rodgers does yearly, and, you know, Brady used to do all that. But the difference is you still had contenders up until last week. You still had two other playoff contenders in Rodgers' division and just better teams, obviously. So I say that goes against Mahomes, the competition level in within the division. Rodgers just has better numbers than Mahomes. Yeah, better numbers with a little bit less, just a little bit less, because Devontae Adams, missed three games this year, so he was out, and Devontae Adams is still putting up some of the best numbers as a receiver, thanks to Rodgers. So the running game is magnificent. Tonya stepped up like crazy, tight end. Like, I don't know where we would rank him as far as, like, just guys who have breakout season, but he's probably one of the best breakout guys that you never heard of up until this year. So Rodgers has helped them guys get better. And I mean, the way that they looked Sunday in the snow against the Titans, like, I'm like, damn, that's Lambo. Like, that's fucking Lambo. Like, it's here. It's here now. We gotta beat them to get in, man.
Remember, we've been talking all year to Shane about the home field advantage at Lambo. He was like,
well, I mean, it's just the you know, look, I like Green Bay's chances of coming out of the NFC, especially if it has to come through Lambeau. But this is not a typical year where home field advantage does not mean what it would last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, is it still going to be hard to come up to Lambeau on January 12th or whatever, and when it's snow and cold and wind? Yeah, it's going to be hard. But
yeah. The
home field is just not – it's just not what we're used to. So the one time – this is only the second time Green Bay is probably – and first of all, they haven't locked the one up yet. I mean, they could lose Sunday to Mitchell Trubisky. And and Seattle's, I think, like a 5.5-point favorite over San Francisco. So it's not over yet. I don't want to completely talk about it until it gets there. But if they do end up getting the one, I feel confident that they're going to play Josh Allen in the Super Bowl in a month.
Is that a prediction?
I am fully on board. I forgot which one of you guys was talking about Buffalo a couple weeks ago, and I kind of said, maybe. I'm telling you what, they got everything you need. They got a strong defense.
They got a great
enough running game, a quarterback, and then you got Stephon Diggs, who's playing out of his mind, and then a really, really good offensive scheme. I don't know.
I'm gonna consider that a segue, Shane, because I definitely want to talk about Josh Allen.
Well, let's get to DJ. I want to see if DJ agree with the Aaron Rodgers MVP.
Yeah, I agree, but I'm not gonna say that it's not even close. If you look at the numbers, Pat is having a really good year, but like Mike said, it's kind of been all over the place. And then me having him in fantasy, man, he put up some duds this year. So I'll say, yeah, and because last time we saw Pat, they were struggling with the Falcons. last time we saw Rodgers, they were destroying the Titans, and that's kind of going to be like one of the biggest things that go into like the voters' mind. It's like, what's the narrative toward the end of the year? Who looks the best? And then some of y'all mentioned like Rodgers was like falling off over the past like couple of years. Me being a Bears fan, I was like, where is this at? Because he still was cooking them. And so like people were saying that. And then I was like, wait, does that mean he going to throw a bunch of picks? Does that mean he not going to have an arm strength? Does that mean this or that? I was like, okay, they not putting up as many numbers as they was, but I was never the person that said Aaron Rodgers fell off and that, because every time I saw him play against the Bears, it was barbecue chicken city. So I was just like, well, they drafted Love, okay, but Love going to have to wait. And then I was always like trolling, like, man, just cut him so he could come to the Bears. Like, that was going to be like my dream. And then I was going to be the big Aaron Rodgers fan ever. Like, as soon as he's wearing that blue and orange 12, I was going to be too happy. But like, I never thought that he really like fell off. I just thought that it was just like circumstances. And I do think that the weather is going to be the biggest thing that helps them in the playoffs, because the dome in New Orleans going to be quiet. Seattle ain't no 12 men, and I ain't really worried about the mother teams. So yeah, that weather is going to be different, but teams should be able to play in it, but sometimes they just don't. Like, Seattle shouldn't have a problem with it, but a team like the Saints will, team like the Rams will, like, but other teams shouldn't, though.
We got three unanimous Aaron Rodgers votes. DJ says it's closer than you think. I agree. I mean, I really hate to say it. He been balling, man. And you can't take away from what Mahomes or even Allen did, but fuck Aaron Rodgers. Mike, you said you wanted to segue to something.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about Josh Allen after I talked about Mahomes a little bit, because I felt like going into last week, Rodgers was the lead. And I felt like if that game was in Tennessee, we might be talking about Derrick Henry today. Mm-hmm. Just because I know it's hard for running backs to get it, but if they would have played in Nashville and maybe won, we might be having a different conversation based on his performance. So those were like the four guys. And then Russell Wilson was like, man, like I really, because that's what I put my money on. I put my money on Russ, but like
he fell off like the last 6 years.
Yeah, he fell off. And like I caught him in the middle of his fall off thinking that, you know, he was going to have to step it back up because they were trying to get that first seed. He was still going to get it. So, but with Josh Allen, man, like Josh Allen, he done broke like every Bills record like this year. And again, I'm a Bears fan. So every team's passing and quarterback records are better than mine. So they all look good. But he done all that. Like, he's not just like a running quarterback anymore. Even though he still gets it in, like rushing. I think he got like 7 or 8 touchdowns or something like that rushing this year. And then the Bills, like, this is like the best I've ever seen the Bills in my life. Like, I was a tiny child when they were Super Bowl bound all those years back to back. But I don't remember any of that. This is the best I've ever seen the Buffalo Bills play. And they're winning the AFC East. Like, I'll be damned. Somebody not named New England Patriots winning the NFC East. Like, so this is like a change. This has been a full changing of the guard with this guy. And, I mean, he's right there. He 12-3. He's right there. And I can make a case for him, but I do know that that's not going to put him over Rodgers. Rodgers just has the better numbers. And again, he is in a better division again. Also, I focus on that division. So you have to play those guys twice, obviously. Yeah, and that matters year in and year out. These are the teams that know you the best. You know, you show up 1 week and, you know, it's a blowout. You come back weeks later and it's a hard-nosed game. NFC North, like, I feel like, you know, it's any given Sunday for real in that division. So that would be the reason why I would still give it over Rodgers. But, like, I feel like Josh Allen, he at least, you know, however they do it, he deserves some votes. He deserves some recognition at least because, I mean, you literally take him off the Bills. I don't think the Bills are as good as y'all were saying. Like, I think their running game is trash. Stephon Diggs is very good. They got a couple other pass catchers over there. Like Beasley playing really good this year. But like, I think they O-line is pretty good too. They defense, they're all right, but they don't, again, their competition, if you look at their schedule, who they play, like, it's not like they're playing a bunch of world beaters either. But if you take dude off the team, like, they're probably horrible. Like, put Nathan Peterman on the Bills this year and see how good they do.
That's not fair.
But I'm still going over Rodgers, though. I just wanted to give Josh Allen his credit. Hey, man, I'm a Bears fan. Nathan Peterman might have been good for Bears. I don't know.
If you put Nathan Peterman on any team, they trash. That's a worse quarterback. Like, people was ragging on Haskins this week. Nathan Peterman is probably one of the worst players in NFL history. Jelani Tavai, the linebacker for the Lions, he's also one of, like, I watched him in that, I think it was the, who did they play? It was a Buccaneers game. He had curl flat. Brady stared him down. It's like, oh yeah, I got this motherfucker. Aaron Rodgers was eating his ass up when they played the Lions too. Like, I've never seen somebody be like, where's this motherfucker at so I can pick him apart? But yeah, Nathan Peterman, that's not fair. I mean, Shane, you said that the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky might beat the Packers. So what do you expect from the game on Sunday?
Well, I expect Green Bay to win, but the Bears are going to get the 7th seed as long as the Rams beat Arizona. But no Jared Goff. They got some backup going now that I never even heard of. And it would have been reported that Murray might not play, but it looks like he's going to be good to go. I said this a couple weeks ago. I think I tweeted it. I said the worst case scenario for the Bears is that Trubisky can roll like 3 or 4, quote unquote, good games in a row against shit teams, which he's done. Give him credit for that. He has, it's his job to go out there and play, and he is. I mean, I would be nervous right now if I was a Bears fan that if they get in, it's going to equal in some way, because if I was a Bears fan, I'd want the three-headed monster cut. I'd want them all gone. Pace, Nagy, Trubisky. I want them to do nothing to do with my team. I do not want Ryan Pace being the guy that picks the next quarterback for this team. Look at what he's done. You drafted Mitchell Trubisky over Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. You went out and gave Mike Glennon $20 million. I mean, it's a team that's just not going to win the playoffs. Your first game probably be at New Orleans. You'd lose by probably double digits. So, like, what does that get you? I would want the guarantee of miss the playoffs, these guys are gone, we start fresh.
So you don't want any inkling of a victory to where
for me, I don't care. I'm saying if I was a Bear, like it's a tough situation as a fan because it's like, okay, well, my team has a chance to get in the playoffs in a single elimination tournament where it's largely random. A lot of times the best team doesn't even win, right? You could get hot and go on some sort of run. Who knows? It's not the NBA where it's a 7-game series where the best team is going to win more often than not. It's like the NCAA tournament. The best team doesn't always win. So, yeah, I mean, you want your team to get in just to have a chance. But same time, I mean, you're not rattling off, 4 wins in a row in January with Mitchell Trubisky starting a quarterback. So me personally, I would be kind of torn, but I would lean towards wanting them to find a way not to get into the playoffs.
Mike, DJ, as the resident Bears fans, are you in agreeance with Shane's analysis of the current playoff run?
Yeah, I mean, this is what Trubisky do. I mean, he did it last year too. Like, he go on this little tear, say, oh man, he's looking good. The loyalty in us as fans, like, yeah, Mitch, I got, Maserati Mitch, And now he gonna get an extension. And then that means if Trubisky plays well, then Nagy stays. So, and I want to see my team win too. And I know we lost to New Orleans by 3 in overtime this year. And that was before Breeze went out and we had Nick Foles. So I don't think we would lose by double digits. Yeah, it's going to be in New Orleans, but again, it's a different type of New Orleans. Now, this is neutral ground New Orleans, you know, so I want to win, man. And there's no better way doing that than beating Aaron Rodgers to get in. I want to win. So, I mean, yeah, I hate what comes with it, but man, like, I'm an American. This is a popcorn society. I need my popcorn right now. I don't want to wait till next year, maybe, like, even though if we do lose week one, it's like, fuck, like, week one of next year, we know we got Mitch started with Nagy as the coach. So, yeah, it's a catch 22, but I want to see my team win at the end of the day, man.
DJ?
I want them to lose, man. I want them to lose. Like Shane said, three-headed monster, no, four. I need Phillips gone too, the team president. Like, I want all of them gone. And I sacrifice them that one playoff game for them losing beat, because that's going to basically let Nagy off the hook for terrible this year. Pace and all his dumb choices that he has made, that, like, it's going to look like that he actually did a good job. And Mitch still can't read a defense. He still throws in triple coverage. He still can't anticipate throws. So, of course, they be, you know, these terrible teams. But if you actually watching it and then see where his mistakes are, he's doing the same thing that, you know, that he's been doing. This ain't no Josh Allen thing where we watch Josh Allen be, like, terrible his rookie year, and then he got better, and got better. Mitch does the same exact thing, and he has not got better. Now, if he was, like, on that Josh Allen wave of getting better and everybody can see it, then yeah, because Josh Allen beat good teams. Josh Allen, even though he be, like, tweaking a lot of the times, but he still put a 450 on your head and won't be scared to run out the pocket, whereas I'm not saying that from Mitch. And then Mike always asked me, like, is he good? Then I was like, man, I don't know. But, like, this year, yeah, like, he one of the, like, Josh Allen, one of the craziest, funniest players, because he'll make a terrible throw and, like, throw into, like, nobody and then get picked off. But then, like, the next two series, he coming back and leading touchdown drives. And you'll be like, damn, this dude actually might be good. Like, I don't see that for Mitch. Like, me being a fan, of course I want them to win, but if they lose, I won't be, like, too mad, because them losing equals all them cats gone. And that's what I want, because they're not good. Like, Mitch is not the guy moving forward. Nagy has shown that he's not the guy. Pace been shown that he's not the guy. They just now starting to run the ball effectively. And I would, like, wonder what changed. Like, was it the fact of you getting more carries? Did the scheme, did the play calling, like, what? But going into games, you can't be winning thinking you're going to, you know, just run the ball 11 times, especially when you got a quarterback that is not like that. So, yeah, I want them cats gone.
So there we are. The Bears fans don't want a victory. That's funny. I think, man, I know some idiot is going to pay Mitchell Trubisky next year, and it's going to be one of the funniest things in the world. Look forward to the games on Sunday. We'll do a lot more NFL playoff coverage next week on the next episode. The NBA kicked off before Christmas, and holy hell, does 2 weeks of preseason and training camp make this season look horrible already? How many blowouts has it been so far?
A lot.
It was like three last night. It's like three or four last night.
Yeah, and these back-to-backs, you know, playing each other, running it back, like Miami-Milwaukee played last night, they're playing again tonight. I mean, I understand it from a scheduling standpoint. It makes it easier, you know, the less travel, obviously it makes sense, but, you know, it's just, it's, you know, that's like a college thing. Like the Ivy League does that. Every time they play a team, they'll play on Friday night, then they'll play each other on Saturday night, back every single week. And it's just like, you know, it's just kind of making for a little bit of a weird product to start the season. But, you know, guys will get their legs under them, and I think it'll look better probably come February, March-ish.
What teams are surprising you guys after the first week, whether it be negatively or positively?
I'm a little. Philadelphia looks a little better than I thought. Maybe. I don't know. I think Doc Rivers, and I know he's not everybody's favorite, and there's a lot of things to get on him about, but I think he's a good coach to kind of bring a team, you know, together, at least to start. Brett Brown was horrible, and he was a horrible coach for that group of personalities. You know, Doc Rivers has been around for a while, and he's managed a lot of different guys. I think, you know, for a team that doesn't really have an identity like Philadelphia doesn't, we don't, you know, it's like we switch off every game. Who's their best player? Simmons, Embiid, you know. I think Rivers is actually a decent coach for that team. So I think they're going to, in the end, be a good, strong regular season team.
Mike, or DJ, excuse me. Any teams out there surprising you?
No, I feel like the lack of preseason and then, you know, the bubble just really, just finished a couple of months ago. Like, these blowouts is funny. And then a lot of, like, terrible teams are, like, off the good starts, like the Magic, the Hawks, the Cavaliers, like, teams that you would not expect. They all to, like, 3-0 starts. And then you look at some other teams that's, like, not off to, you know, good starts, but we know they're going to be there. I think, like Shane said, it's just a wait and see, because one thing you don't want to do in the league is overreact to, like, the first week. Like, it's 3-0, but y'all got, like, 69 more games. So, like, let's pump our brakes. One thing I don't like, though, is I'm seeing guys rest already. Yeah. It's like, bruh, like y'all been off for so long, and it's not even the guys that's like that just played in the bubble. It's guys that ain't played in months and they resting already. And it's
Kyrie,
like, come on,
Kyrie,
man.
KD.
They come on, man. Like, they both coming off of injuries, but KD been hooping almost every day for the past like 3 or so months, because they were trying to talk about him coming back for the playoffs. So he been playing. So it's like, which I like, what's the plan? Is it to rest every, you know, three games, or to rest against weak teams, or what? Like, what's the plan? Because y'all already resting. Like, guys like Jimmy Butler and Kawhi is like hurt, so then they can rest by default. But then you got KD and Kyrie already resting, so that's a little interesting.
Mike, you got any Steph Curry slander cooked up?
Yeah, that motherfucker made me lose my money on Christmas, so I was on his total points, and he was well under, so. No slander, though, man. It's just like, again, we really get to see what he made of, again, for like a second year in a row, like no loaded team. And as long as Draymond is out, like that's a big deal, because Draymond brings a lot. Number one, the playmaking role, and obviously on defense, so. I don't know. We'll see when his homie come back what's going on. But I love James Wiseman over there. Like, I'm going with James Wiseman for rookie of the year. Dude is as polished as I thought he was. And Steph got to keep that pick and roll going with him if he's going to be facilitating in their offense. And that will help him out a lot, because James Wiseman can shoot it. He can pick and pop. He can pick and roll. All that. So
they don't run it too much, though. Like, they be tweaking. They don't run it enough. And yeah, that makes me think that Curry not like that as a coach.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's just so different, because you so used to having Draymond at the top of the key facilitating that. You know, it's a look they probably not really trying to get used to right now, because it's still a rookie that they working in. But at the same time, like, I don't know, Steph. I still think Steph gonna have like, I still think he gonna be like top four, top three MVP race if he healthy the whole year, because them shots gonna start going down.
Yeah.
It is Steph Curry we talk about. Like, that shot gonna fall. He's gonna have them games. He's gonna have them moments. I thought it was gonna come on Christmas. I was sorely the hell wrong, and I paid for it literally. But at the same time, though, no slander. Though, I ain't gonna slander him yet. But
2 years from now, he will not be in Golden State.
You don't think so?
No chance.
Where
absolutely no chance. Charlotte makes sense. That's a team he's been linked to his whole career for obvious reasons. Yeah. What's he going to do in Golden State? That's not a playoff team. The West's loaded, and it's not going to get weaker anytime soon. Like, where are you going? That team is a disaster. Okay, first of all, the pickups. Kelly Oubre is like 0-for-100 from three.
Well, he made one last night.
Did he make one last night?
He made a jump shot yesterday.
He's playing the Pistons. So I could hit three against the Pistons.
Why are you going to do that to me right in front of me?
Andrew Wiggins is terrible. Like, he's capable of a good. He played well last night. Like, he's capable of having that 25-9 game, but no consistency whatsoever. I mean, what's Klay Thompson going to be when he comes back? A torn ACL and a torn Achilles. Like, Draymond Green, okay, like, sure, he'll help, but, you know, what's the best case scenario for that team going forward if they don't add any real stars?
45
seed and getting bounced? No, I think he's gonna, I think he'll ride it out for a while, and then I think he's just gonna look. I mean, he's 31. How old is he right now? 31? I think so. And then he's gonna, you know, get a couple more years in him and say, well, am I going to play the rest of 32. Whatever left? He's 32. Yeah. So is he going to say, I'm going to play the rest of my prime, just wasting away? He just doesn't seem like a kind of guy that's going to want to just, you know, waste away on a shit team just because he's been there his whole career. Everybody else does it. Everybody else leaves, you know, it'll be understandable. I just think, I mean, the Golden State dynasty is obviously gone. It never would have been there if it wasn't for Durant, but that's a whole nother story. And I would predict that within 2 years, Steph Curry is no longer on Golden State. And I mean, who knows where he's going to go, but I think Charlotte's a real possibility.
Mike gonna fuck that up. I just know Mike gonna fuck. Why was it? Mike can't be the owner, bro? Cause that's going to go horribly.
Did y'all see how he was looking at LaMelo Ball the other night?
Nah.
That's not going to work out at all.
That's not, God. I can't believe how bad, like, really great athletes are at being general managers or scouting talent or coaching. And it's just astonishing, man.
It's why that whole argument of, well, you know, you never played this, that, and the other. Well, just some stupid. Of the. Magic Johnson, he was just as bad as Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, and Magic Johnson.
Joe Dumars. Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, like, great players. Even, like, look at LeBron. Like, he's made, you know, we know he's made behind, like, personnel moves that have been his call.
Yeah.
That have been like, what are you doing? You know, yeah, like.
The Cavs after Kyrie just.
Horrible teams.
Yeah. It's just, you know. Just because you play it doesn't mean shit.
I think they should start giving, like, head coaching gigs to, like, normal people, man. Because watching, even, I mean, in the NFL specifically, like,
the NFL is the worst.
Yeah. Watching those guys uphold that, like, Marty Schottenheimer age of football that is, like, power football or these schemes. It's horrible, man. It's the same repetitive things that we've seen since, like, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Like, niggas need to start throwing up Hail Marys four down straight and see what we can rotate people. Like,
The officials throw flags if you breathe on a guy in a way they don't like. So we still have coaches punting on 4th-and-3 from the other team's 42. Yeah, that makes sense. And then shoot it right in the back of the end zone, get that 22-yard net. Yeah, that's a real genius, genius play.
There was somebody, I think I saw one of your tweets. It was the Packers game, wasn't it, when Vrabel punted that?
Vrabel punted the other night from the Packers 32. The punt went in the end zone. It was even if you punted to the one, it's still the wrong move.
Yeah.
Punting from the 32 is never, I mean, that I don't care that was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. It's like, and this happens every week. It's just mind boggling that I like Mike. I'll sit there and be like, do I really bet money on this stuff? There's some of the dumbest people in the world in charge of $1 billion franchises punting from the 32.
That could be
to Aaron Rodgers.
Just sitting around watching stupid people get rich and chill. Like, I can make stupid decisions like that and still, I'd take 1/4 of the salary. And to be a lot more competitive of a game. anything else you guys are I mean, I know we're early into the NBA season, but anything else you guys see that's even remotely exciting? The Mavericks?
To what DJ said, I mean, Kevin Durant looks like Kevin Durant.
Yeah. You
know, hopefully he can hold up over a season. But I can't remember the last time. I mean, I know there's been guys that have been like this, but with his skill set, there is literally no defense for him.
Yeah.
None. You can double him, he can pass out of a double, no problem, because he's 6'10". He can see over you. And he can drive by you. He can pull up in your face. He can post you up. I mean, we forgot. You know, he's been so long since he's played. And like DJ was saying, I mean, to see him back looking like his old self has been pretty cool.
Would you entertain the argument as him being the best player in the world now?
I mean, I think, sure, you could make that case. I still think LeBron impacts a game in more ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I would still rather have LeBron. But yeah, you could. I mean, there's no real, you know, weakness to KD's game. Like, there's no, I mean, it's just,
you just got to be more aggressive. That's the only thing I think. Like, he defers, like, to his point guards too much. Like, if I was some of them, like, them niggas would not be touching the ball as much as they do. I don't care who it is. It could have been Steph. It could have been Kyrie. It could have been Westbrook. I don't care.
Steph Curry, Westbrook. So.
I don't care. But my matchup is better. My matchup is better. I don't care who you are. My matchup is always better because when Kyrie goes and do his Kyrie thing, like, yeah, like, he be, like, killing. And, like, Steph, when he's on, you know, you're not stopping him. And Russ, too, like, in his prime. But then also, those guys, like, they be stopping themselves at times by doing different things. Or the flow of the game may dictate one thing. And whereas with KD, the game for him looks so easy.
Yeah.
And it's so smooth. And it's so, like, effortless. Because when you double Steph, he passing that ball up. When you double KD, he damn it could just shoot over it. Or he can just, you know, pass out of it, like Shane said. And then Kyrie could dribble your team to death. And Russ will, like, his jumper be hit and miss. But, like, I don't see nobody really, like, stopping them. I'm not deferring to those guys. They can defer to me, but I'm not deferring to them. And then that's what I think is, like, the biggest, like, the weakness in his game. That's the only thing. It's like, he got the skills to lead the league in scoring every year. Like, and not even close. Because Harden, Harden going to dribble and flop and free throws and all of that. But KD can do all of that by actually scoring buckets. But he defers, I think, too much at times.
Yeah, and I still need to see a full season of the playoff of the personalities of
KD, Durant, Kyrie.
And Kyrie working out.
You need some adversity.
Yeah. Something needs to go wrong.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everything looks good now. They're coming out. They came out firing, beat up on a couple bad teams. And, you know, all is good right now. But, you know,
things get rough.
Yeah, exactly. Because it will. Because the dog days of an NBA season, things will get rough. And, you know, let's wait and see. But I'm still of the opinion it's not going to work in the end. I think they're going to in the playoffs, when defense is tightened down a little bit, I still think they're going to have trouble with a team like Boston. So we'll see.
And losing Dinwiddie.
That's an underrated bad thing.
Talking about that too.
Because I guess, like, his contract too was so tradable, as to where, like, if they wanted to upgrade somewhere, they could have moved him easily and gotten, like, a really nice piece to fit that team. Now they don't. And, you know, we'll see that. Yeah, that was kind of an underrated big loss.
Yeah.
But, like, he's good, too, so you don't necessarily need to move him. But, like, when they was talking about them packages for Harden, Mm-hmm. Like, he was like the fit, you know, in those packages. But I want to see who going to step up, because they got some guards, but I don't necessarily know who on that team is going to step up and, like, you know, take on that role and responsibility. Because right now, I think chemistry for them is okay, because, like Shane said, it's early. And then you got the guys that was already there, plus Kyrie and KD now. So it's going to be interesting down the stretch. But I ain't really sold on Boston, though. Get them out of here.
Mike, what the Mavericks looking like?
Just need Porzingis back, dog. See how good he gonna be, because Luka came on kind of slow in the beginning of the first couple of games, but the way they played against the Clippers the other night, yeah, I know Kawhi wasn't there. Okay, well, neither was Porzingis. Like, so he hasn't been there. But Luka playing, I mean, he playing ball the way I thought he'd play ball. He threatening double-doubles down there every night. I was asking DJ about Josh Richardson. I think this is going to be our new thing. Like, is he good? Like, is Josh Richardson good? Like, I asked, is he good enough to be like a number two? Like a Chris Middleton number two, though. Not like a Kyrie Irving number two.
Whoa. Slow down. That's
I'm asking.
All right.
Because Josh Richardson's stock has been high.
He can score. He can score. But he's not like – Middleton's a matchup nightmare, man. Middleton's – he's better than people give him credit for. He really is.
A lot better, and has been. He has been even before the All-Star. Mm-hmm. So, but my question was – but, again, we don't recognize Middleton is as good as he is. And they only play, like, 30 minutes a night. They don't even play.
Right.
The Bucks, like last year, they only played 30 minutes a night, and him and Giannis was doing that in that time. But what I asked about Josh Richardson was – is he the type of dude that can sustain it while Porzingis isn't there? Meaning that when Porzingis comes back, he's clearly going to be the number two option. And he's going to have nights where he get more touch than anybody, because that's what Luka wants. Mm-hmm. But if we know that this dude is an injury liability. So when he's out, can Richardson be the dude that takes those points, scores those extra couple points? He might only average 15, 16 points a night when Porzingis there. Can he push it? Because he had 21 the night that they blew the Clippers out, you know, he only played like 25 minutes or something. But I was really watching him, like, this dude looks really comfortable already on the Mavericks. Like, can he be like a, I don't know, another Josh, like a Josh Howard or something to a Dirk, who where Josh Howard had a monster season where he all-star level ball in a Kobe, T-Mac, you know, them type of guys, Western Conference, and he was an all-star too, like right in that mix kind of. Can Josh Richardson be that guy? So I asked DJ that. DJ said probably not, at least not right now. But, you know, I'm team Mavs now, so I'm just excited about the team, period. And, I mean, they put – like, I was mad Seth Curry left, because I was like, Luka was getting everything that I thought Seth Curry could possibly be. He was getting that out of him. Mm-hmm. This dude, Luka, is a guy that he going to maximize your talent no matter who around.
Right.
And, like, I love watching them play, like – man, I love watching the Mavericks play. Like, it's just a fun-ass team to watch. And they're going to have so many games like this in the West. Like, that Clippers game, okay, like, okay, you can say Kawhi wasn't there, whatever. But when they play them again, like, it's going to take me back to that bubble series where, like, I really started looking at Luka, and this dude is playing on one ankle. And I'm like, man, like, he good. Like, I knew he was good, but this dude is like, if somebody said he was the best player in the league, I wouldn't even, like, argue with him like that. Like, I wouldn't agree. But I can understand it, like, from a impact standpoint. Kind of like how you said, Shane, about LeBron, how LeBron does so many better things. You know, Luka is one of them guys. And, like, this isn't their year. Probably not next year either. It really rides on Porzingis and how healthy he is, because he's good. So
he just needs to
go. Yeah, he missed the glass, though. So, but, yeah, I'm liking them, Kawhi. I'm liking them a lot. I'm still saying Luka going to be the MVP. You know, he's still favorite. But yeah, like, I mean, I'm talking about, like, he going, like, this dude might get the scoring title. I mean, it just all depends on Porzingis, I think. I think wherever Porzingis is, if Porzingis plays, what is it, 72-game season? If Porzingis end up playing 50 games, he's supposed to come back January 1st, I think that's what they were saying. He plays 50 games, Luka probably average, like, 26, 27 points a night, and then probably get the MVP. And then probably finish, like, top four in the West.
Yeah,
Porzingis don't come back, Luka might average 30, and they'll probably be bottom four. But I mean, bottom four playoff wise, they'll probably get like maybe AC. But Luka probably scored 30, 31 points tonight.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a good point because you don't even really need to fill out that smart of a roster around Luka, right? You got Porzingis, and then you just find guys that can shoot. Like Steph Curry was perfect for that team.
Perfect.
And, you know, that was kind of an underrated loss. And like one guy I want to talk about too is Paul George. Once again, this guy just every time he talks, it's like he's putting his foot in his mouth. He's saying something stupid. Now, like he went on all the smoke. I watched that whole all the smoke thing, and just from watching Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, you could tell, like, you know, they were trying to show him love and be respectful, but those guys are probably thinking to themselves, like, get this guy the fuck out of here with some of his bad talking about how he's gonna be a changed man, and you know, he's so excited for the season. And then they get 50 balled without Kawhi. And, you know, in the grand scheme, like, is it that big of a deal? No, it's really not. I'm never one to overreact to a regular season loss. But this guy talks all that shit, and then after the game, says it's not that big of a deal. Like,
I feel like that even in
you Indiana, got a supermax.
Yeah, in Indiana, like, that was the same thing. Like after that dunk contest year and Danny Granger went down and he became the man, he never crossed the threshold.
Yeah, and he's the kind of guy that's got to, like, prove it, right? I mean, they blew a 3-1 lead.
I don't think he's going to – do you think he's going to prove it ever? Honestly.
I don't know.
Yeah. DJ?
Back to the KP point. Mike, you got too much stock in him because when's the last time you seen him play, like, good for, like, an extended period of time? Like, the little bubble games, but then he got hurt. And when he's in, that team is completely different. But then he has to, like, be aggressive, too. Like, KP be chilling way too much. And he plays too small at times, too. Like, and that's not going to help that team. But to Shane's point about Pandemic P, yeah, he should just stop talking because he literally just put his foot in his mouth every single time. And Mike asked me something, and then I was like, bro, I don't want to hear nothing the Clippers got to say until the playoffs. Like, I literally don't want to hear nothing, no player. I don't want to hear from Doc Rivers. I don't want to hear Pandemic P. I don't want to hear Trez because he was on the Clippers. I don't want to hear nobody that was associated with the Clippers talk until the playoffs, because they did all this talking, blew a 3-1 lead, and didn't even make it to the finals. And they're just losers with loser mentality, loser coach, loser organization, loser colors. They're moving past Staples Center. So, I mean, okay, they probably going to move to, like, a loser stadium. Like, I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear nothing until the playoffs start. Like, once the playoffs start, then we will see. But really, certain teams, certain players really shouldn't be saying nothing until the playoffs start, because a lot of the guys, it's like, okay, you get to a certain point, but then what? Like, with Pandemic P, he finished third in the MVP 2 years ago.
And he brought that up on all the smoke like 5 times.
Yeah, but then he got sent home.
Yeah, and he called it this MVP one year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, bro, you didn't win the MVP. But then the end of that season, y'all got sent home off a bad shot. So, like even that, like, you didn't even elevate your team past the first round in that series. So it's like, bro, like, just stop talking, man. Just please.
The way I see it, and like, in order to win NBA championships, like, you need 2 real stars. Like, we, you know, LeBron and AD. And then you have, like, teams that are kind of, like, right there, like Denver. Like, they got Jokic and Murray. You put the right roster around them, they could go far.
This year.
Is Porzingis that number 2? I kind of agree with DJ. Like, yeah, he's capable of having really good nights. But, and he's an all-star type player for sure. But, like, championship? I don't think so. And that's why, like, I'm, as much as I despise the entire city of Boston and their fan bases and their teams and everything about that shithole, I hate everything about it. But like Tatum and Brown, like they
agree,
could ascend to being that kind of players. Like, this is one of the reasons I said I'm not a believer in Miami repeating that success. I'm just not. They have Butler, then who's their number two? Is it Bam Adebayo? Good player for sure. But is Bam Adebayo taking over the game in May?
Defensively, hell yeah.
Okay. Hell yeah. Like, in a playoff series, like is, you know, the Lakers were easily able to exploit him. They ran him to hell in the pick and roll.
That's the way around though, Shane. That's asking a lot, dog.
I'm saying,
1-2 in the league.
If you want to win NBA championships, you need two real legitimate stars. And I just look at some of these teams, like they don't have it. Like that's why the Clippers, they're not going to win the West. Because in May, Paul George is just not going to be that guy. Like you build a solid nucleus around Jokic and Murray. That team they went to the Western Conference Finals in the bubble. Like, you know, I wouldn't pick them over the Lakers, but I will take that team up against anybody in the West besides LA in the playoffs.
Well, I got the Nuggets coming out the West this year. I got them coming out the West. I think Michael Porter Jr. is going to take that next step, and then they're going to actually give Ball Ball some fucking playing time so he can show how really good he is. And that's going to be two more motherfuckers that they get in addition to Will Barton, who wasn't even there. They missed him a lot. And this is as Jamal Murray is still ascending. Like, Jokic is there. We know who he is. We know he's real. And Jamal Murray is showing us, like, he might even be the number one on their team.
I'm not a Miami guy. I'm just not a Miami guy.
I feel you, though.
Murray got to be consistent, though. Murray got to, like, play, like, how he was playing, like, in a bubble, like, every day. Like, every game. It'd be too many games where Murray just be out there getting exercise. Folks just be out there practicing. Like it'd be too many games where I'm watching and I'm seeing them and I'm like, all right, you see what Jokic is doing. And then even though he all like fat and slow, or whatever, like his effort is always there. Whereas Murray just sometimes it be games where I don't know that he's on the floor. And for me, if he's consistent and you're going to tell me he's going to be consistent all the way through the season and then the postseason, then yeah, for like a team like Denver, they need this regular season to fit the pieces in. Like Mike said, a team like the Clippers and the Lakers, no, just get me to the postseason and then our best players is going to do the work. Well, our best player, because I ain't talking about Pandemic P. So, but a team like the Nuggets, they need this regular season, but I need Murray to play like that all the time and not just go missing. And then I don't know if Bobo gonna get that tick though, Mike. I don't know. I don't see it.
We haven't even mentioned Harden, but if there's a team that should be making a move for him, to me it's Miami. To me it's Miami. They have the young pieces that could probably get it done. They don't want to give up that fucking dork hero. I know. It's like
they lying. That's a smoke screen.
That's a team that should be making a move for Harden.
No, they should though. They should though.
You don't think it's they don't want to give up hero? What do you think it is, DJ?
I think that it's probably like some picks or it's something that like Houston doing, because Pat Riley ain't the one to be, oh, I'm sold on this young player and I'm gonna just keep him, versus Pat Riley gets stars, like established stars. That was he's shown. So why all of a sudden Pat Riley just gonna change it to somebody else? No, absolutely not. It's something else that we not seeing. And then somebody agent or somebody press person leaked. They don't want to give up Duncan Robinson, because first it was Duncan Robinson, then it was Hero, then it was we don't want to ruin our young guys' egos. Well, Pat Riley don't care about none of that.
Right.
So it's something that we not seeing. And if I was the Rockets, I would have took that Caris LeVert, Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, and them picks and, all right, bye, folks. Or give me three of them guys from Miami. All right, dude, you gone. Because like, you're not going to get whatever value you think you are. And then you're not about to get, like, I mean, you can get something, but you got to believe in the people that you're getting back, because the AD, Pelicans, and Lakers trade worked out for both teams because they believed in Brandon Ingram. And so you got an all-star back
with young pieces and them picks to build around. So who is willing to give up these young pieces and automatically know Harden is going to make my team 100% better? Because if I'm a cuss team and if I'm like, nah, I can just set this out and then I just wait or I just do whatever else. But if I'm a team that's like, all right, if we blow this up, we got a window that's going to be a couple of years, then I'm going to do it. Because a team like Boston, so it's been Boston, Miami, Philly, Brooklyn, those are the teams that we hearing. So I think it's something that we not seeing. And it's something like behind the scenes. Yeah, it's taking way too long.
Harden would be a good fit for Miami because, first of all, that would take the load off Jimmy Butler too. That would be a huge help for him, especially on the offensive end. You know, because I just don't as much as I do like Jimmy Butler, I don't
Wait,
know
so
how much
who would they give I up, Shane? Who would they give up?
Well, picks, Hero,
Robinson.
Houston has no leverage. They have no leverage. They have a guy that just has no interest being there, that is not going to stay there long term. And they have some serious financial issues, that owner. So, like, they need to get rid of Harden sooner rather than later. So, and teams know that they have no leverage. So, they're probably trying to lowball them. And you know how that whole thing goes. But, I mean, you swap, like, you put Jimmy Butler and James Harden in the same backcourt. I mean, and I'm not even the biggest Harden guy, but make that trade. And that's the best. That's, in my opinion, that's the best team in the East. That gets them over the hump. Because right now, you got Butler surrounded by these white guys that can shoot. Sure, that's nice. But guess what? Defenses tighten up in May, man. We talk, Mike, about this all the time. A regular season game on February 12th is a whole hell of a lot different than a tight playoff game in late May. And, you saw what the Lakers did to Miami, the way they defended them. Don't switch. Get through every screen. Fight through every screen. Run them off down screens. Make those guys work. And you maximize out what their potential is. So, like, I think Miami has a good thing. But if you add Harden to that, you put Harden and Butler together, man, you could fill out that roster with just, guys that make sense. And that's the best team in the East to me. You have a guy that's Butler is one of the best defenders in the league. And then you have the other guy who's one of the best offensive players in the league. It's going to be really tough to beat.
That's the formula. Well, we'll talk more NBA this year, but one thing that you should take into the new year is that Paul George, Pandemic P, and the Clippers are losers. Thank you for that, DJ. So we're going to, let's talk about New Year's, man, because, I asked you guys, how did you spend your 2020? And that was the dumbest question ever because we all spent it in quarantine or in the house trying to avoid Big Rona. How are you going to spend your 2021? What are your New Year's resolutions, Shane?
First of all, New Year's resolutions are fucking stupid. All right, because it's mostly like these fake deep like Instagram.
You ain't
got to
do all this. How are you going to spend your 2021?
You asked me a question. I'm about to answer it. Okay,
so right, I'm sorry.
I'm never gonna talk down on somebody that's trying to better themselves. The fat person, the fat lady at the end of the year that says she's going to start working out and eating healthy. I wish you the best of luck, but 90% of the time it's going to fail anyway because it's just. That's the way it is. So me personally, I'm hoping to get that vaccine shot in my arm within the next month, hopefully. And, keep doing this. Try not to fuck up. Not do anything stupid with money. I've done it. And, clean up a couple things like that financially. And, hopefully we get to, a more towards at least the summer, things are more normal. You go to functions, you could go. For me personally, especially living in Chicago, it's just I haven't been able to, like, our winters here, we have the same group of guys that go play basketball every Tuesday and Friday night. Same group for the last how many ever years. And, you know, we haven't been able to do that. And it sucks. Like, that's my cardio. And I'm hoping to hopefully within the next couple months, you know, get back to playing full court basketball, because, you know, not having that in the winter in Chicago, I mean, you're fucking cooped up in the house anyway. So add the pandemic to that. It'll be nice to hopefully, you know, get back to some resemblance of normal.
I think it's time you settle down, man. Find you a nice lady.
No, like, shut up. Is. Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
DJ, what's your 2021 looking like?
Man, probably just make a couple of goals. I'll probably sit down like in the next couple of days and write out some stuff and try to achieve it. That's what I did last year. I wrote some goals down and then I put it in a note and then I locked it. And then I was like, I'll check on it. But then when it get down to like the end of the year, I'm gonna make sure that I reached it. So just sit down and actually think and like plan out this year. I don't got like one thing in particular because I don't know how 2021 is going to go. So let me not say all this stuff, because like for this year, I was like, well, let me, like December of last year, I was like, man, I want to travel, salty. So like, I'm gonna just think of like some goals and do the same thing I did last year, lock them. And yeah, that's about it, man.
Mike, lay out the plan.
Man, stay alive. Make it to 2022. I already decided that 2021 was going to be another L like 2020 was. So people couldn't even get a mask on. So I'm imagining people not going to want that shot.
I like Tito Ortiz.
Yo, I live.
I fried his bitch ass, didn't I? Fried
his ass.
Fuck him. Yeah.
I live out good. There. And I'm hoping to run into him one day. Just so I can see his face. That was one of the fun. You what the quote was, you married a woman that sucked 10,000 dicks on camera, and you're worried about a mask. What's wrong with you, man?
I mean, he's one of these, like, he's this crazy, like, Trump guy that's, you know, MAGA this, MAGA that, and he's anti-mask, and one of the reasons is he claims that, you know, putting a mask on your face is extremely dirty. That's his thing. Like, it dirties you up and it helps ruin your immune system. You married a woman that probably has every single STD that's ever existed, and you're worried about putting a mask on?
What if Jenna Jameson has done nothing but bring joy to you, man?
You know, that was a fun one, but I had to get him on that one.
Do you think you're ever going to see the people that you've insulted?
Who knows?
you ain't got no worries.
I'm an anonymous account.
I like it, man. You're a Russian hacker. We got the only Russian hacker to show his face.
I just want Shane to run into Albert Breer. That's what I want to see.
Oh, Albert, yeah. I'm real afraid of him.
Jason McIntyre versus Shane at Twitter Mania. That's what the people Jason, need to see.
Jason McIntyre, Clay Travis, Albert Breer.
You're a menace. Ever since I met you, you've been a menace. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up. Happy New Year's, everybody. Enjoy your New Year's Day with your family, friends, and you'll hear more from us on the Good Podcast in 2021. Be safe out there.